listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour, mes amis. Ed McGrogan here. Once again, Tennis in 10 podcast, looking back on day two of Roland Garros, where you had the top two contenders for the men's side, Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal, in action, and both taking care of business, without too much difficulty. You had Rafa playing Benoit Paire, getting the Frenchman in a first rounder, but really, didn't let the crowd get into this one, as always the potential lies when you're playing an opponent who in the country where he resides. No issues for Rafa, who continued to, picked up right where he left off in Madrid, basically. He only lost on clay this year in Rome. But certainly the confident shot making, and really just the ability to kind of keep his opponent suppressed the whole match. A pair who has that potential with kind of his, redlining ground strokes, just unable to get any sort of momentum going here. And then, even more impressive, perhaps in some ways, was Novak Djokovic, because, let's leave Andre Agassi and his coaching corner aside for a moment, but we just, Djokovic is really still, in many respects, a question mark as he returns to Paris, for the first time since his title win a year ago. But against Granollers, who obviously got more games off of Djokovic, he lost 6-3, 6-4, 6-2, still a straight setter. And Djokovic, I thought, with the backhand, that was, I think when he is hitting that with sort of the, effortless execution that you see many players hit their forehands with, that's when I think Djokovic is feeling a little bit better about his game. And I thought that was the case for the great majority of this match, even though it was obviously a little bit more involved in terms of just, what was required to take it in straights. Probably, I think it was referenced on Tennis Channel that, this might not be a bad thing for Djokovic to kind of get, just have an opportunity to hit 8-10 shot points and just find that groove again. No issues for the top two men. And on the women's side, I think there was some normalcy as well there too, after obviously Angelique Kerber losing yesterday, the top seed on the WTA side. I mean, you have Garbine Muguruza, who probably is even more of a question mark than Djokovic, because, again, another defending champion, but someone who has proven very unreliable since winning in Paris last year. Gets an interesting first rounder against Francesca Schiavone, who won Roland Garros years ago, 2010, and takes her out 2-4. I mean, as she should. This is, this is a 12-year age difference. Someone who clearly is, playing toward the prime of her career, as opposed to someone on the way out. So for Muguruza, that was, I think, a nice opening statement there. Just to, not even a statement. I think that's a horribly overused word. I sincerely apologize for that. Just a good opening performance, period. And many of the other top seeds, I think, showed that too. Raonic 3-4-2 over Darcis. Wozniacki, the 11 seed, she goes three sets with a wild card, a very low ranked junior wild card, Jamie Forless, who maybe we'll hear from down the road, but taking Wozniacki three sets. But Wozniacki, gets that done. Karolina Pliskova, the number two seed, and now the highest seed on the women's side. No problems, 7-5, 6-2 over Shuai Zhang. There were not too many upsets today overall. Gauffin, number 10 seed, 2-2-2 over Mathieu. It was a very thorough day across the board. The play actually wrapped up around 9 p.m., Paris time, which is actually a little early, even a little before that, which is a bit unusual for this slam, which tends to push the envelope in terms of playing time, lighting, even though there is really not no lighting. It's all based on the sun, but they really have gone pretty late into the night sometime. It was So was something a surprise when you saw Zverev, Alexander Zverev, and Fernando Verdasco go split the first two sets and then immediately call the match with definitely a little bit more time to still play there? So, it, you know, in terms of day two in that respect, I would say this was a pretty, you know, a pretty conventional day in that regard. I really thought the Americans were the story of day two, and we did write a lot about that over at tennis.com. And what I would say to that is because, and I'll be the first one to admit that the sort of impetus to write about the American players just for the sake of them being American is something I've never understood, never really enjoyed doing on our site or even seeing on other sites. I mean, there are a lot of different nationalities. This is as global a game as it gets. I think it's worth showcasing that by writing about as many players as possible and not having sort of the, you know, inevitable first round look back, second round preview, third round, oh, this is the last American left in the draw, you know, pieces that you see all the time, even though it's an American-centric site, of course. But I thought today it was worth writing about a few of them because their matches were just simply the most compelling. You had Steve Johnson, first of all, who we mentioned in yesterday's podcast. He failed to serve out his match yesterday against Segura, comes back today in the fifth set and eventually does serve it out. And more, you know, the real story there is Johnson, you know, doing all this despite, you know, a very tragic event, losing his father just in his sleep, just turned 58, Steve Johnson Sr., you know, obviously a very difficult situation for Johnson to deal with there. And, you know, that was really what you read about, what you heard from him in his press conference, you know, very revealing stuff from, you know, a player who, as he said, tennis is clearly secondary at this point. Steve Tignor has, you know, a really great piece on this. He talked with Steve Johnson and his father for a couple of magazine pieces last year, and I think Steve's insight on Steve Johnson is something that you probably are not going to really see too much, too many other places because, you know, of kind of the level of conversation they had. It's a very strong piece, and I really do implore you to check that out. And, you know, I was looking around today kind of assessing, you know, when it comes to the first round of these events, you kind of have to pick your battles. You know, where do you want to write about? What's really, you know, what comes off the page when you see, when you have practically 50, 60 matches going on per day? And for me, it was what Jennifer Brady did against Kristina Mladenovic and what Donald Young did against David Ferrer. They both lost, but they lost in absolute heartbreaking fashion, in overtime, as I put it, 9-7 in the third for Brady against Mladenovic, who's the top seeded French woman. You know, both players, I think, feeling the nerves of that one, given the pressure and the moment and the stage. And then Donald Young against David Ferrer, you know, on court 17, well off of where Ferrer was playing not that long ago. He was in Longlon Chatre. He's a former French Open finalist. But he's still, you know, at 35, he's number 30 now in the seeding and still just, you know, the game hasn't changed. You know, the results may have, but the game, you know what you're getting with Ferrer. He wins 13-11 in the fifth. And I thought the perfect way to end it was how it just happened was, you know, as I put it earlier, make him hit one more ball, the David Ferrer story. And I mean, he ends up on his third match point. Young is approaching the net. Point looks to be saved again, but a stab lob from Ferrer, you know, drifts back, lands in, and Young's kind of caught off guard by it and puts it right in the net. So Ferrer at 35 winning a 4-hour 26-minute match. I thought it was a great one to watch today. I thought those were two of the best matches today. And why not? While I'm here, we'll mention two other Americans, just because I, you know, these are upset losses, Jack Sock and Coco Vandeweghe out in the first round. That's it for day two of the Tennis in 10 podcast. We'll be back, obviously, tomorrow in under 10 minutes to talk about day three. Thank you for listening.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.